You're listening to episode 52 from SIW Radio, the podcast series from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Our topic this week is security consulting, and we have with us Curtis Bailey, president of Security Consulting Strategies LLC, and we also have with us Kelly Klatt of the Center for Security Solutions. These are, of course, two security consultants. And we brought them on today to talk about starting your own security business. Both these gentlemen have a background in law enforcement and private industry security and have now are transitioned to or have transitioned to doing security consulting as their main practice. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask Kelly if you can tell us a little bit about your history in business and in security and how you got to where you are today.
Hi, Jeff. Well, you know, I started back in 1975. I was a policeman for the Los Angeles Police Department, and after about 15 years and getting run over three times, they said, well, you're not going to be working the field anymore. So I left the police department around 1990 and started in private industry and had gone to work for a shopping center company and was responsible for their centers and then transitioned over as they were selling out to hotels, and from hotels I went to work for the city of San Diego as their head of convention services and their, what they call their police department, which is kind of a strange, the Bobbies of California, I like to call it, because they were the only unarmed police department I've ever run into. But it was responsible for all those public venues in the city of San Diego, and that included putting together the Republican National Convention, a Super Bowl, and then previous experience I had with the Olympics in Los Angeles. Eventually, I was asked to come back to work for Lowe's Hotels and went to Florida and went to work for a luxury hotel group there. And while doing all this, I've been gaining experience. You know, you just kind of don't realize you're learning. It kind of gets a kind of a sponge method. You know, I became a member of ASIS International and was attending their conferences and was taking every class I could probably find. And eventually, you know, somewhere 15, 20 years into doing this, someone asked me for my opinion, and you know, I started giving my opinion, and about the fourth person to ask me said, hey, I'll pay you for your opinion. And all of a sudden a light bulb went on and said, you know, that might be a viable business. And so while still working for the hotel group, I said, you know, it would be a good idea to look at creating a consulting business. And I looked to the International Association of Professional Security Consultants as the kind of the gold standard and looked at how they were, you know, what their members were doing, and became a member of that and realized that that was the way I needed to go. And so during this period, I'm still have a full-time job, and I took about a year and formed a corporation and created Center for Security Solutions. And I've got several people that I work with, and they do wonderful work as a team together and individually. And that's how I got started.
We'll come back to how you started your business in these recent years. Well, Kurt, you have a similar background, some law enforcement in your background, some retail, of course, like Kelly. How about you tell our listeners how you transitioned from law enforcement through corporate security and into consulting?
Kelly and I have very similar backgrounds, and you mentioned the law enforcement part. I did that. It was an interesting transition. I was working for, in my law enforcement career, I worked public law enforcement, and I also did a stint with the Ohio Attorney General's office working undercover. I worked for a major department in Arizona. I was a division chief with them. And then one day I decided I wanted to change course and direction, and I went to work for one of the major grocery chains in the Southwest, and worked my way up, became the director of loss prevention services for them. And that started actually my retail security career. I worked for a number of retailers, including some global retailers. And when I made the change to a security consultant, I was in a position working for a retailer. And I was in a travel status Monday through Friday or Saturday. I wasn't home at all during the week, getting home on the weekends. I did that for a number of years and decided I really needed to make a change. And it dawned on me, in all of my retail security positions I've held, I've always actually served as an internal consultant, because when you're director of loss prevention or in a position like that, that's what you are. You're providing consulting services to your employer. And so I made a decision that I was going to just start my own security consulting business and work for myself. Well, that's basically the decision-making process and how it began.
Well, now, in Kelly's story, of course, you're transitioning from a full-time at Lowe's Resorts into consulting. But Kurt, you made a decision to jump out of the private industry and directly into consulting. Was that a nerve-wracking question and decision to make?
Well, it was. It's a scary proposition because you're going from a relatively secure biweekly paycheck to, okay, who's going to pay me now? And that can be a very, very scary transition. I did it not having a bunch of money in the bank. Had some income, but not enough to really survive on a month-to-month basis. So at that point, it was a pretty scary transition, but I did it.
What was the hardest?
I say Kurt's a lot braver than I was. I mean, that's quite a motivating factor to sit there and look, going, okay, how are we going to make the house payment next month? And that's what scared me to death, and thinking I'd try to transition, you know, with one foot in each side. And I'll tell you what saved me and let me do this. I have a wonderful boss who has helped me along the way. Back when I worked for him 17 years ago, and I was offered this opportunity with the city of San Diego, and he was the one that encouraged me, you got to go take that, it's better. So that's the kind of guy he was. So when I came back to work for him 7 years later in this environment with the company again, you know, I've told him about this, and he said, look, and that's why you have time off, you know, so that thing you do, I don't know, go do it.
Now, I think that's probably, that making that transition is one of the toughest things, toughest decisions to make early in a security consulting career, is to make that leap. And is to go from that, you know, like you said, that regular biweekly paycheck to the unknown of you know, where is that mortgage payment going to come in? Is it going to come in? Do you think that most employers of, you know, security managers and persons who are typically in that type of role before they transition to consulting would be open to allowing some of their seasoned senior security people do consulting work on the side? Do you think they would be open to that?
Well, I mean, my experience has been that the first thing you have to do is full disclosure. You can't keep it a secret from your boss. You're going to keep it a secret from everybody else, because you'll have, you know, you don't want to have that issue come up with others, but as much as you can. But the first thing is let them know what you're going to do. And that's not going to work in every circumstance. You know, there's probably 75-80% of the employers are not going to like that. So it's really got to be a special circumstance. And then on the other hand, the information that I gain from my consulting business helps my regular job. Every time I handle a court case, for instance, where I'm an expert witness and I delve into a case, whether no matter what side I'm on, you learn more about that, about the process, and you bring back valuable lessons you can bring back to your current employer. Every conference I go to that's not, that the business doesn't send me to, that I send myself to, whether I go to an IAPSC conference or I just went to a Seaport Security Conference in New Orleans last week, that information that I'm gathering comes back and not only helps me in my consulting business, helps me with my clients in my consulting business who I went for, but also helps me with my home base and allows me to bring that knowledge base and contacts and information to them. So if you're able to explain that trade-off, then oftentimes you might get an agreeable employer who sees that there's a benefit to letting you do some things on your own.
That's a great point, Kaylee. When you put it like that, how can they say no? Well, Kurt, let's jump back. You just made the transition into full-time consulting. What were those first few months like?
Well, the first few months and the first period was I was involved in actually setting up the company, forming an LLC, and everything I needed to do with that. So that was time-consuming. I joined the IAPSC because I wanted to be able to partner with other like consultants, and I was strongly urged over a period of time through my association with Charles Sennewald, who is one of the founding fathers of the organization. I was very fortunate to make a connection with Chuck Sennewald through my involvement with the National Retail Federation. Both Chuck and I were, and Chuck still is, a moderator with the NRS LP information discussion forum. So much to the urging of Mr. Sennewald, I joined the IAPSC and have never looked back. But I had to decide, you know, was I going to have an outside office? I chose to have a home office. I like that arrangement much better. It is more economically feasible to do that. Plus, I have everything at my fingertips. And I like much better working from home than working from an outside office. I've done that my entire career, and I found it to be quite different.
Let's talk about growing the business. You've made the leap to start it. And I think one of the first challenges is going to be, how do you get your clients? Kelly, you mentioned that you were working in the private industry, and some folks started to come to you, right?
Yeah, I had an attorney call me, and then I had some friends I had in City Hall had recommended me to some developers who needed some help with looking at their projects. And so, you know, it's really about, you know, that word of mouth, somebody knows somebody, and you get recommended. And that became the basis of the work. And from there, you know, I then created a website and started, you know, consciously thinking about bringing up, you know, the topic of looking for consulting work with these clients and who they might have to recommend. And that kind of progressed some. I got other people involved who wanted to be listed on the website and partner with me. And so their knowledge base and who their contacts are helped come back to us again. And eventually my little homegrown website just wasn't doing it for me. I mean, it was kind of impossible to find. So I actually went out and got bids on a new marketing company to look at, you know, logos and web and everything else I could do to kind of change the face of the business. And that's been very helpful.
Kurt, how was your early process of finding those clients and getting the marketing message out that you're someone to go to when it comes to security consulting and especially, you know, retail and loss prevention?
Well, like Kelly, one of the first things I did was I built my own website, and I did that before I decided to go live with the business. And the day I decided to go live with the business, I also went live with my website. And that has evolved, too. I've gone through about five, six generations of websites. And still today, I'm actually my own web manager. So I've decided to stick with that. And unlike Kelly, I don't go to an outside source for my website. But that is how I started getting my clients. I was able to market myself and my website very successfully. So my first clients actually came off my website. Not long after that, I started getting clients through word of mouth. So that's how the business grows. I get referrals from other consultants. I do quite a bit of public speaking. I also do some writing for publications like Security InfoWatch. I've been involved in, I've participated in some books that have been published. So that's all been a benefit to me, and that's all part of my marketing strategy.
For our listeners who are perhaps wondering, you know, about web marketing, if you want to check out Kirk's website, it's securityconsultingstrategies.com, and Kelly's website is www.c4ssi.com. So check those two out and see, you know, two very well done security consulting practice websites. So. Kurt, one of the things that we talked about before is that early on in your consulting career, you have to define what kind of consultant you're going to be. And you have some, I know, some interesting opinions on what's consulting and what's, you know, what's independent consulting and what's not. I wonder if you could share those with us.
Well, yes, I had to decide what kind of consultant I wanted to be. And there's basically two different choices. Security consultant is a widely used term, and people like to and rightfully call themselves that. But I had to decide what kind of consultant I wanted to be, and I chose to be an independent consultant. Independent consultants are not associated with any kind of product. They're not affiliated with any type of private investigation, anything like that. They're strictly independent. And I just had to make a very conscious decision of what kind of consultant did I want to be. I get contacted on a regular basis from different security product vendors and things like that, and private investigator associations that would like me to add them to my website. It's just not something I get involved in. I'm very conscious to not be affiliated or associated with any kind of security product or vendors. So that is a conscious decision I made at the very beginning of starting my business.
And I like to say what Curtis and I both do is, you know, we're independent consultants, and what I like to call that is we are the purest form of representation for our client. We are not biased by any product or if you're working for an attorney as an expert, you know, it doesn't matter which side hires you, you're going to give them the same answer of your evaluation of their case. You are there to give them the truth and to protect that client if it's an assessment or if you're doing a you know, assisting them with designing a security plan for their business, to make sure that they're getting the best plan possible and that the people they hire as their installers and third-party vendors are giving them the true value of what they thought they were getting. So we're really we're like they're their own employee, but we're only there part-time.
I've got to think that that's got to be you know, we talked about difficult decisions, you know, the transition from full-time employment to trying to make a go of it full-time and consulting. I think that's got to be a tough decision to make as well. I mean, maybe you're early in your consulting career, still waiting for that, you know, that web marketing and that word of mouth to take off, and you know, some, you know, integration firm or a product firm comes to you and goes, hey, you know, do you mind kind of repping us while you're doing your consulting? That's got to be something difficult to turn down when the mortgage is looming and the kids need to go to the orthodontist, right?
Well,
yeah, and you know, it continues to be an issue. I mean, every time I talk to an attorney, I tell them, look, send me your case, I'll look at it, and I'm going to give you my honest opinion. Now, that may mean that our relationship will end immediately after I give you the opinion because it's not going to be, it may not support yours, but I'm going to give you the truth. And they accept that because they really want to know the viability of their case. And if you tell it like it is, you're going to get more clients in the end. But it is difficult when you have people saying, hey, you know, go out there and recommend XYZ locks or cameras, and, you know, we'll shoot you back a piece of the action. You go, I'm sorry, we don't do that. That's not something we participate in, and we represent the client.
Yeah. And from my part, Jeff, I I had a very solid reputation, or have a very solid reputation with the retail industry. So once the vendors found out I had become a consultant and was no longer working the corporate side of the retail security, I was contacted and asked to represent them and promote their products and all that. I've never kept track, but I'm sure there's a lot of money that I have passed up because I had to tell them I'm independent. I'm sorry, I can't represent you or your product. Mm-hmm.
And certainly there are lots of consultants that don't retain their independence. Folks out there every day doing that kind of stuff. And I guess for our listeners, that's
one. Yeah, we call those salesmen.
Yeah. So that's the first decision our listeners are going to have to make. If you're transitioning into security consulting, are you going to be independent or are you going to be a salesman? Well, let's talk about something that is really at the core of the business, and it's business basics, you know, things like accounting, how to organize your business, and, you know, investing in your business and insurance and things like that. All that nitty-gritty stuff that comes along with running a small business. What Kurt, what are some of the things that you have to oversee day to day, and what are some of the things, that business processes that you had to set up when you first founded Security Consulting Strategies?
Well, the very first thing I had to decide, would I want to become a corporation, a sole proprietor, or a limited liability corporation that's commonly known as an LLC. So I had to decide what was best for me, and I chose the LLC strictly because of the simplified accounting measures and the flow-through tax income to me. So it's treated a lot differently. So that's the first thing I had to do. I had to file my paperwork with the Secretary of State and all my papers and all that. Then I had to decide whether or not I wanted to hire an accountant, a CPA. I decided not to because I do have somewhat of an accounting background, and I have found that choice to be successful for me. Again, I had to decide, did I want to have an outside office, or was I going to work at home? Even to the point where if I'm going to work at home, do I want to have a professional organization answer my calls and pass along calls to me? So it gets down to some very minute details that you have to make a difference. One of the things I had to do was I had to get a federal tax ID. Very simple to do, but not something that you do in everyday life unless you're going to go into business for yourself. So there were a lot of decisions that I made, including buying a car for the business. Just a lot of decisions you have to make.
Kelly, aside from some of the ones that Kurt mentioned, what are some of the other things that come to mind that you had to do as you started your security consulting practice?
Well, you know, I researched what was needed and decided to go similar to Kurt, but a little different in that I went on a QuickBooks program. And so I do my own accounting, yet I hire a CPA who twice a year, I mean, I go in there about midterm in the year, and he looks at all my QuickBooks records, you know, puts it on his computer, cleans up anything I messed up, and gives me any advice, tells me kind of gives me a little, you know, health checkup on how things are going. And then I go back to him at the end of the year, and we have a regular corporation, yet it's a K-1, meaning that at the end of the year, the profits or losses go back directly to the owners of the corporations, and you know that's my wife and I. So it comes back to us. So it's a flow through on the revenue, and so it goes. So what they do is they complete the taxes, and give me the form that goes onto your 1040, and that's it. So it keeps it simple, but yet I have someone to check against to make sure I'm on the right path. Yeah, there was the whole, you know, getting the federal tax ID number is the first thing, forming your corporation, getting the right name. We went through a couple of processes of trying to do that and make sure you had something that would look right and sound right. I tried to not do what a lot of consultants do, which is put my name in the title of the company. And the thought process there was somewhere down the road, 10 years, 15 years, I want to sell the company. And if I sell the company and that part of the company is my name and I don't go with it, then that may devalue it somewhat. So I try to pick a name I could stick with and not hurt myself in the long run. That was one of the key issues we looked at as we formed it.
That's a great point as well. Kelly, you mentioned that really you and your wife are the owners, employees of it. Kurt, what's the situation for you? Do you have any employees?
No, I'm a single member of my LLC. I choose to do that. I made a very conscious decision. I've had opportunities to expand and bring other people in the business, but I owned a business once that went from 2 to 26 employees in about 2 months, and I just don't want to do that anymore. I'm very happy being being my own boss and not having to bring anybody else in the business. One of the things I do, if there's a consulting project and I do need help or added expertise, say there's something that maybe I don't have the expertise in, but another consultant does, I will actually contract, and the IAPSC has a program for that where you can partner with other consultants to team up to offer the expanded consulting services to customers. If I have found it successful for me, and everybody's different, I am my own boss.
And we kind of did a hybrid of that. You know, I operate the business independently, you know, but I have 9 other independent security consultants as they're listed. But, I mean, I say independently, I operate the business on a whole. And with these 9 individuals, they've all committed to me that, you know, they wish to be part. Whenever the right job comes up that they can fit into, they want to work it either in conjunction with me or independently. And I've used them in different formats, sometimes, like I say, together, or I'll send them the work. And the nice thing is they're all, you know, outside contractors, so to speak, and so there's no requirement for them to have, you know, they're doing their own thing somewhere else, and then when needed we bring them in. And it's nice to have that wealth of knowledge because each of them specialize in something different, you know, so we're able to offer, you know, everything from your regular management security consultant to technical and forensic, as well as executive protection. And we do cold case management for homicide cases for different smaller police departments, as well as we have another piece of it that does a technical surveillance countermeasures, which is, you know, looking for bugs and things like that. So it gives us a nice broad range that we can go through, and then they all have other specialties they do within that, but they kind of all fall within those ranges of one or the other.
Right. Kurt mentioned, of course, that he wants to, you know, keep it small. You sort of done the high growth and the larger company experience, and is looking for that small shop kind of feel, or really get in touch with clients. Kelly, how large do you want to grow your consulting practice?
Well, we actually have a program called Strata that is an on-call security director program designed for those mid-level companies who are on their way up who don't have a security director, or the larger company who may have, through the economic changes recently, you know, not really, the last couple of years, has, you know, let go of their security director. And the idea is that we would provide these services to companies on an on-call basis with a basic package, an upgraded package, and a really top-ranked package where we provide so many hours of expertise to them each month, as well as giving them a baseline to start with and reviewing all of their security programs and what their crisis communication plans are and these type of things. And the goal there is to get 100 to 200 companies over the next 5 years. If we're somewhere in that range in 5 to 7 years, then we're really hitting the marks that we want to be at. With my eventual goal is that I've got about 10 to 15 years, I figure. Let's see, I've got at least 12 I want to go. 12 more years. Before full retirement. At that point, I want to have a viable company that has a good client list that is of value to somebody else, and I can turn it over to them to operate then.
Gotcha. When you look back at starting your businesses in the consulting field, and you think about education, I wonder what you would turn to for that. I mean, obviously there's this podcast, and while I'd love to think that this would be one of the hallmark pieces of a potential security consultant's education, I know that there are a lot better sources. So
it'll be mandatory listening for anyone wanting to get consulting, I'm sure, when you're finished.
We hope so. But hopefully, what are some of the other sources you guys would look for?
Oh, ASIS International is where you've got to start. And then IAPSC is where you then do the advanced training. I mean, you're looking to get your basics in every field possible by going through ASIS, I think. And then when you join IAPSC, you're really going to fine-tune what you have as to the consulting business itself and where you... Yeah, and the great thing about that is everybody in that association wants to help each other. And when you hit that hurdle where you can't figure out a deal, or I mean, I was working with trying to do a water facility in California, and I reached out to somebody else in our association, and he had done some really large ones. He was very helpful, and I mean, that kind of relationship with guys you've never met even is what the business is about.
Gotcha. And Kurt, is there any direct education for consulting?
Yeah, I would agree with what Kelly has said. I would also add business courses, college-level business courses and marketing courses, because I spent, when I first started my business, my marketing was about 75% of my time. It's much less now. But to start out with, I was marketing 75% of my time, and I think college-related courses on business marketing would be a great advantage. I've kind of learned a lot more as I've gone through the process and what works and what doesn't work. So I just think marketing... college courses would be a great advantage.
You're absolutely right, Kurt. That you don't realize how much you have to get involved in marketing until you have your own business to realize, hey, nobody else is doing it, and everybody out there wants to sell you a ton of stuff. And to pick out what's the right product for you, you really got to know who your customer is. Kurt's right.
That's a great point. How many hats do you have in your closet? You've got the marketing hat. You've got the the office manager hat.
Okay. You're your own accountant. You got your marketing guy. You got your, you know, there's so many those offers that come through that people are going to save you. You know, you got to have the smell degree too. This doesn't look right. You know.
And I can tell you, I make marketing decisions every day, whether it's deciding to list on some expert network, because that is a big part of my business, expert witness and litigation support. So I put a lot of thought and time into marketing my services in that direction, to actually marketing the consulting part of the business. It's a big part. It's not when I first started, it's much bigger piece of the whole overall picture than I thought it was. And I actually, when I attended the Successful Security Consulting seminar by IAPSC, that is one of the focal points of that seminar, and I found it to be great because marketing, you can't do enough.
Okay. And that Successful Security Consulting seminar, when's that held, and where can folks get more information about that?
Well, the next one is October. The seminar is going to be October 10th and 11th. I think the ASIS conferences in Dallas, Texas this year.
Right.
And the conferences, again, like I said before, it's one of those pre-seminars before the actual ASIS event. But it's October 10th and 11th. And if you go on AIS site or you go on the IAPSC site, you can find links to that conference. I can't tell you enough. For the money I spent, and it wasn't that much, the benefit was fantastic.
As we kind of get closer to the end of this program today, I wanted to think about times that we start our consulting practices, and here we are, years 2010, not the best of economic times. Would either of you be wary of transitioning out of corporate security into consulting this year?
Well, you know, from my position, what I saw it was the consulting business act, you know, when times get tough, security actually, from our perspective, seems to be more towards consulting, less towards full-time if you're you know, in that full-time position already. But the consulting piece of it got better because there are companies out there without anybody, and now they're looking for more assistance. I think, you know, the whole economy being shook up also means that people are a little more leery, a little more cautious, and so that's where we come in and help them.
I would agree with Kelly. Since the downturn in the economy, my business has expanded. Again, that's because, like Kelly said, companies are doing away with some aspects of their security business. Like Kelly, I also work on a retainer business with some companies where I have to keep open and dedicate certain hours every month to them, to be available to them. So I have found an increase in my business since the economy.
We like to say at the Center for Security Solutions, our motto has always been turning uncertainty into peace of mind. And in these times, I think there's a lot more uncertainty than there was, you know, 8-9 years ago.
Absolutely, there is. All right, final question for you, gentlemen. If you want to think about your consulting practice today, is it what you pictured security consulting would be like when the idea first started appearing in your head years ago?
I thought there'd be a line out the door. I wouldn't have to do anything the way it started. But like Kurt says, you spend so much of your time marketing. And then the other thing that you don't realize is how much time you spend educating people. I mean, people call and want to have questions, and you try to help them through it. And then, I mean, all the way to the brilliant attorneys you think you're working with who have no idea, you know, and you have to give them real-world experience a lot of times to really point them in the right direction, because, you know, they have their idea what something should be, but they haven't really seen it from our eyes, from how things really work sometimes.
Yeah. For my part, I thought maybe that the world would beat a path to my door. It really didn't. But I started out with enough business to get me through the tough time in the building stages. One of the things I didn't consider when I started my business was the expert witness and litigation support. So I didn't bring that piece into my business until a year and a half after I started my business. And I did so at the urging of another consultant who put it in very plain English to me. He says, "Why wouldn't you? You have all those years' experience. You have something to offer." So I would have started out with that piece a lot earlier than what I did, so that's something I would change if I were doing it today.
Great point. Well, we hope this has been a very educational program for our listeners who are thinking about making that transition, whether it's from law enforcement into consulting or from corporate security into consulting. Kurt and Kelly are both members of the IAPSC, that's the International Association of Professional Security Consultants. That is online at iapsc.org. They also recommended ASIS International, and that is at asisonline.org. If you want to check out, again, their websites, Kelly's website, the Center for Security Solutions, is www.c4ssi.com. Kurt's company is online at securityconsultingstrategies.com. And I should make one more mention here, is that Kurt holds the CSC certification, which is the Certified Security Consultant, and that is a designation offered by the IAPSC. Kelly holds the CPP designation from ASIS. So I want to thank Kelly and Kurt for coming on this program today, and this concludes episode 52 of SIW Radio on securityinfowatch.com.